When I was growing up, I just wanted to find a way that I could make money and still be able to go to sporting camps and not have like a job. And so I started lawn mowing. When I got started with that, it was like, oh dang, I just made $400 this week at 8 years old. Well, then next year it was okay. Let me try and make $1,000 a week. And so I just kind of started hustling, trying to get more
Hustle as a little
yards
kid.
as a little kid. And so my dad would have to drive me around on Saturdays. And then it got to be too busy for him. So I had to hire someone without a driver's license to drive me
Oh my
around to
gosh,
my
that's
yard.
So you had an employee at what age? 12, 13 years
Yeah, I
old?
think I was in middle school.
All right, everyone, welcome back to another episode today of the Benj and Sailor Show.
Yeah, dun dun dun. You talked about getting a little jingle, so we'll have to
Yeah,
figure that out.
today we have an awesome guest with us, McKay Salinas. He is a been a longtime entrepreneur, got into entrepreneurship at age 7 or 8, I believe. Started a lawn maintenance business and ended up selling that at age 17 to fund your mission. Is that
Yeah,
correct?
that's what paid for my mission. I had
Yeah.
the best experiences ever.
Yeah, there you go. So you did that, went on your mission, came home, got into college a little bit, and then you decided to start Rocky Mountain Services. And now you're in this, you're fully into it, and we're excited to talk about your business now. And just to see where the scales come from. So thanks. Thanks for being on here with us,
Yeah,
McKay. We
thanks for having me,
appreciate it.
guys.
Yeah, why don't we start with talking about your lawn services that you started, that you
Lawn
said.
maintenance.
How did you even think of that? What happened? Tell us that story.
Yeah, so when I was growing up, like I just wanted to find a way that I could make money and still be able to like go to sporting camps and do things, not have like a job.
Okay.
And so I started mowing lawns, and someone told me, probably when I was 7 or 8, like if you started mowing lawns right now and you had, I think it was 20 lawns at $20 a piece, and you did that from now until the time you were 18 or something, you would have $10,000 saved up. And I was like, well, I actually need to have $10,000 saved up so I could go on a church mission. So that's where I kind of started with that goal in mind of like, let's go and get 20 yards I'm mowing every week. And when I got started with that, it was like, oh dang, I just made $400 this week at 8 years old. Well, then next year it was okay. Well, let me try and make $1,000 a week or $1,000 a month. And so I just kind of started hustling, trying to get more
Hustle as a little
yards
kid.
as a little kid. And so my dad would have to drive me around on Saturdays. Then it got to be too busy for him, so I had to hire someone because I couldn't drive yet. So I had to hire someone without a driver's license to drive me
Oh my
around to
gosh,
my
that's
yard.
awesome.
So you had an employee at what age? Your first employee? 12, 13 years
Yeah,
old?
I think I was in middle school, like just starting
Okay.
middle
That's
school.
so cool.
And he would drive me around. So we'd go, so then we could get started on Fridays and then still work Saturdays. And he would have to drive me around. We had to teach him how to drive stick shift. He never had driven a stick shift truck. So I'm teaching him how to drive this thing, but I don't have my driver's license. So it's kind of interesting. Like,
Do you remember how much you paid him?
oh gosh, I think like $13 an hour maybe.
Okay, wow.
I don't remember. And lunch, that was the deal. I had to buy lunch
You
on
had to buy
Saturdays.
lunch.
And $13 an hour or something to drive me around as a kid in middle school mowing lawns.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So what did your parents do to like, was this just something that just was part of who you are, or did your parents have any effect on you starting this young, being an
I
entrepreneur?
mean, definitely my parents were like the most supportive they could be. And that played a huge part in it. Neither of them are entrepreneurs or like have had their own business. They've been, well off and taken care of, but not like taking the risk. They've never been the ones to go and start something. But they were always supportive of me doing it, which was super helpful. So, I mean, my dad was always out there with me, and my mom was helping me make the little flyers to go and pass out. So always super like supportive and on my side. But I think it was just something like from a young age, I mean, I just wanted to go and build my own thing. And once I got into lawn mowing, like those first couple years, I saw the potential of being self-employed, the impact you can have on others. And so just have kind of grown things since then.
Oh, that's awesome. So did your parents let you like touch the money once you like got it? Like, were you just like the rich kid at 7 years old? You're like buying everyone candy bars at the store, or did your parents kind of manage that side of it?
No, I don't think they ever even saw it.
Oh,
Like,
really?
so you got your
Wow.
own bank account and everything at that
Yeah.
age.
I remember going down to ICCU, right when it opened up by my house. I got a little ShareBear piggy bank,
Okay.
and I would go in there every Saturday afternoon and deposit either the cash or the checks that I had made out to MCS Lawn Care. And I didn't realize like you had to have a LLC to have checks deposited. Well, then we just started working the system and MCS for my initials. Mm-hmm. So they would accept them because I had my initials written on the check. I'd take my checks down there and my cash. And so my parents didn't really ever have my money, I guess.
You just did it yourself. That's really interesting.
So over the course of those 10 years of you working, how much money did you end up saving up completely? And then you said you sold it too, or was the sale where you got your money from?
So I think I sold everything, like all the equipment and the accounts for like $25,000 or $30,000.
Oh my gosh. And
then I had like, I don't know, 10 or 15,000. It wasn't a ton, like looking back on it now, like that wasn't a ton.
No.
But like for what I had done, you know, in the moment, I was like, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And it was what I needed to be able to, you know, go on my mission, have things paid for, and then come back to more than a penny in my name. So
yeah,
it was good.
That's awesome. Yeah. Someone like me, when I got home from my mission, I had literally a penny to my name.
Yeah, you were like,
cause I didn't do that. I mean, I didn't even pay for my mission. So I think that's really cool that you were you expected from your parents to pay for your own mission, or is that just something you wanted to do?
A little bit of both. I mean, we always had set the goal, like trying to earn our own $10,000. Mm-hmm. And I remember hearing from one missionary at some point, like the experiences that he felt like he had on his mission from paying for it, like all that hard work. And when you're there, then sacrificing 2 years of your time, but you're also paying for that.
Yeah.
He's like, that was a lot. It meant a lot to him. And so I was like, you know, I don't have that same experience. And so I always worked on just doing it myself. And there were four of us boys who were all planning on going on a mission, and that was a lot of money, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Over the course of a 10-year spread, but I mean, that's $40,000+. And so all of us boys kind of worked on our own things. Either they had jobs or I ran my own little business to pay for it. But kind of expected to earn our money for it.
So where did you end up going on your mission?
So I went to South America. I was in Chile.
Okay.
Right in the center of the country, in the main city is called Rancagua.
Okay.
So about an hour south of Santiago, mainly farm town, but yeah, it was a great experience being there, learning another language.
Did you learn Spanish or is it?
Spanish.
Yep, Spanish. So that was a great experience. I had to end it like 6 weeks early because COVID. So I came home in March of 2020.
Okay.
And I was supposed to come home. I had a few more weeks left. But yeah, we all got sent home early.
Yeah,
that's how it was for me.
On what?
I came home 3 months. I had 3 months because I went on my mission in August. And you left earlier, I believe.
Yeah, so I left in June, but the way the transfers had worked out and different things, like I think I had 6 or 7
weeks left. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the same thing for me. And I don't know how it was for you, but when I got home and I had the time left, I was so mad. I was just so furious. Like me and my companion, we had like our whiteboard in front of our desk, right, with like all the people we were teaching. And he's just like, we look at them, we're like, these people are just, they're gone.
Yeah, so I had just gotten out of serving in like the office of the mission.
Oh, nice.
And I was told, you know, by my mission president, I would be in there for like 6 months max. You know, that's all they wanted for someone to be in the office. Mm-hmm. Well, then a new mission president came halfway through and he's like, oh, well, your time kind of starts over. Like you have to help me kind of learn things. And then a few things happened in the mission. I ended up staying in there for like right around a year.
You were in the office for a year.
For a full year, I was in the office. And it was a great experience. It was right up my alley. I mean, I was over all the finances in the mission, and the housing and the few vehicles that we did have. We had just gotten out to go and start teaching again. And same thing, like I was so excited. We had people we were working with. I was finally back to like,
yeah, the
normal missionary, like proselyting every day. And I'd been out for about 6 weeks, and then it was, hey, there's this thing called COVID,
yeah,
you know? And then I remember I lived in an apartment with There were four of us living in there, and one of them was like a total numbers cruncher, and he would take the stats every day, like how many people are in our area and how many people had COVID. And he's like, oh, it's 3.5 weeks until one of us have the virus.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
And then, you know, the next day the numbers go up. Oh, we're down to 3 weeks until it's like guaranteed one of us are going to test positive with the virus. But anyways, yeah, so I came home in March, and then probably just like you, in like a self-isolated 2 weeks of quarantine that they recommended
yeah.
we do.
Yeah, 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 I had that.
Yeah. But then right after that was either time to go to school or start something new.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what did you do? Did you go to school? Did you?
So I enrolled to go to BYU Idaho.
Okay.
So it's all gonna be online. And, you know, I had a bunch of general classes, business classes, and I had signed up for everything. And then the day that classes started, I was like, I've got too much going on, like with the business I had just started. And so I figured out how to like unenroll, or I don't want to say drop out, because I didn't drop out, I never started, but drop those credits and those courses, and then I never signed
you
back never up, never went back.
Yeah, there you go. I still get emails to this day, and it's like, yeah. Do you want to re-enroll to BYU Idaho?
Yeah, yeah,
I still have my email address.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, probably
not. But
yeah.
So you
got home from your mission, you quarantined for 2 weeks. When were you starting school? Was it in the fall?
No, that was supposed to be, yeah, that was like the summer. Spring, so I don't remember when school starts.
So right when you got home then, you started Rocky Mountain Exterior Solutions, correct? Like how soon after your mission
did
you start
that?
And where did you get that idea from and why that?
Yeah, so like I knew from my lawn care business, like I had some success in the service industry, in the home service business. I felt like I was comfortable in there. I felt like I had some way to go and make money doing something there. And so I started Rocky Mountain, it was May 12th, 2020 is when like we officially started. And so I got home in March, end of March, started beginning of May.
Nice.
The service-based business. And I just wanted something that I felt like I didn't need a ton of capital to get into,
yeah.
But something that I could go and start. And I felt like I had some experience already in like customer service and dealing with clients and homeowners and marketing a little bit. And so that's when I started my trash bin cleaning company. Oddest service anyone's ever
thought of, cleaning trash cans.
Did you hear of it from someone? Like,
so I was actually
doing it.
I was at a business, so BPA, Business
okay.
Professions
okay.
of America, yep. Something I was a part of in high school. I was at the national competition down in Texas. And when we're on the bus going from the airport to like the venue, mm-hmm. I saw this trash bin cleaning truck and I was like, huh, that's kind of interesting. So the whole time I was there, I was like running numbers. I was looking up trash bin cleaning services. So I was in that would have been in the spring of 2018, my senior year of high school.
Yeah.
And I saw these trucks, I saw what they did. They lift up the trash can, they clean them out, hot water, high pressure, they self-contain all the water. And just go from house to house cleaning their trash cans. And so I started looking into that model. Was super intrigued by it, but obviously like didn't put a ton of time or effort into it because I knew I was
going
on my mission.
Yeah, you knew
you were
going to be gone for 2 years. Like,
yeah, but I thought it was kind of interesting. So when I got home from my mission, I was sitting in quarantine. I was like, well, what do I want to do? I knew I didn't want to go back into like lawn maintenance. Just there's a ton of different variables that go into it. And I didn't want to do that again.
Yeah.
But I was like, what could I do? And so I started doing some more research into the trash bin cleaning in those 2 weeks. Found some equipment for good price, started calling the manufacturers in Texas. And next thing I know, I was on a plane to Texas to go and pick up a trash bin cleaning truck.
So you had to drive that truck all the way up.
Yeah, so my dad and I drove. So we flew down there, then my dad and I drove from San Antonio, Texas, all the way up. Nampa.
So I've never seen what it looks like. Are they like, they have like a max speed of what they go at, like can you only go
no I mean so take like an F-350, like a 3500 truck,
okay.
Take off the bed on it and put this big unit on there that has a big pressure washer, big arm just like on the trash truck that lift them up.
If I showed you a picture, you'd probably have seen them before.
Yeah. So I mean at the time like there's only one other guy in our area,
in the whole
doing
valley
it. Uh-huh. And so I figured like, well, I'll go give it a shot, thinking, you know, if there's only one other person, like I'm gonna go and like blow this thing up because
yeah.
Everybody could use it. Everyone has dirty trash cans. Everyone needs the service. Like I'm just gonna go and crush it. Mm-hmm. So I went down, I bought that truck, made the truck back, and then started Rocky Mountain Exterior Solutions, which originally started as a trash bin cleaning company, and we've just kind of grown that since.
So starting, you got your truck back, did you like to start knocking doors? How did you start getting your first customers?
Yeah, so started out with some Facebook ads I was doing myself, like okay. Had no idea how to market on social media. Started running some flyers and then going door to door. So I had a goal every day. Like when I would leave my house, I wouldn't come back home unless I got 10 new people to sign up every single day. So I remember one night I came rolling into my house at like 11:45 at night because I would not come home until I had 10 new accounts every single day because it was a hard business to start. No one knows about it. So yeah. Like if you see this new service, trash bin cleaning, you've never heard of it, you don't have any idea what it is and you've never had your trash bin cleaned before, why do you need the service?
Yeah, like I'm fine without it, right?
Yeah.
Like I've never needed it before.
I've gone 20 years with dirty trash bins, like why do I need it now? And so building that, it was like you had to educate people, had to spend a ton of time on like teaching someone what is trash bin cleaning. Where if I had a pest control company, everybody knows what it is,
yeah.
You know you need it. Like now it just comes down to customer service, quality, pricing, and then they're gonna pick who they go with.
Yeah.
But like, if I came to you, you already know what I'm talking about when I say pest control. When I say I clean trash cans, you're like, are you like in the trash can, like scrubbing it out? Like, do you bring a pressure washer? Do you leave all the junk in my yard? Like, is my yard gonna stink? Like, no one has any idea about it. So you spend all this time
like— because where do you put the trash after you clean it all out?
Yeah, so like you have to educate people on how it works, why they need it, the benefits of it. So that's what I spent my first year basically doing, was just educating people. I look back at my very first month and looking at the projections that I had of like, okay, if I have, you know, 100 customers paying me $35 a quarter, mm-hmm. You know, like what I was gonna generate. Then if I had 1,000 customers and my projections were astronomical, like what I thought I could do and set big dreams. And I remember looking back at our first month, I think we did like $2,200 in revenue okay. and we lost so much money. I was so discouraged. Like I'm spending so much money. I actually went and bought this.
So how much was the truck a month?
So I bought it for $75,000.
Did you pay cash?
So I got a little bit of a loan from someone. And then I got the truck financed, like my personal vehicle.
Okay, yeah.
And the people at the bank, they're like, your personal vehicle is going to be a 3,500 dually with like no bet on it. Like,
that sounds great.
Yeah.
Great
gas mileage for you, man.
Yeah, okay. This is a great investment.
Yeah. So, I got the $75,000 piece of equipment and like I just made $2,000 last month.
Grand.
Like,
yeah.
What the heck am I doing?
Mm-hmm. You know? It's a new service. So what kept you going? I mean, we know where it is now, but.
Yeah. So, I mean, one, I was like, I can't fail. Like I just put all this money into something. Like I can't give up. And that's not what I was about. Like I knew it was going to be hard work, but I didn't realize like starting a new like niche,
new idea
was going to be as hard as it was. And so just that mindset of like, okay, I have to go and get 10 new customers. And looking at the long-term picture of like, it's a recurring business model. Mm-hmm. If I can get someone to sign up today, like what's that customer worth over the next 5 years?
Yeah.
And it was super nice. I was lucky enough to be living at home. So I didn't have like
rent.
A mortgage to pay for. My trash bin cleaning truck was my daily driver. Like I remember going on a date, you know, my mission, I literally went in my trash bin cleaning truck, like driving around town. I'm like,
did you show that's awesome. your people you dated like your trash cleaning truck?
Like, oh, she knew
they
about
drove
it
to the date.
Yeah,
but like I literally like we went to Costa Vida and we literally like drove in that truck, and I was like, hey, great advertising. Like I get to park in a busy parking lot. Like that's what I had.
That's awesome. So when I went on my first date with Benj, he was showing me sewer lines because he worked for a plumbing company at the time. I'm like, he was so excited and I was like, oh.
So when I started, when I was going to go on a date with Ashley for the first time, mm-hmm. I knew like, I can't mess this one up. And so I went in my mom's car, she had like a nice Yukon. Okay. And I was like, I can't take my trash bin cleaning truck. And I was like, plus I can't drive that thing from Nampa to Parma. Like that's going to cost me a fortune just to drive that thing there. So I went and I picked her up in my mom's car because I didn't have any, like that was literally all that I had. Mm-hmm. And so when Ashley and I started dating, it was driving my mom's car. And then finally, a couple weeks after we started dating, I was able to buy my own truck.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
Starting out, like my trash bin cleaning truck was my
vehicle.
It's what I had. And so going back to like, I didn't really have a ton of expenses. So that was nice. Like I didn't have to generate a lot of money. I didn't have to make $5,000 this month to pay my car, pay my mortgage. You know, like I had an opportunity to live at home. I didn't need a yard or an office or things like that.
Yeah.
And so I was able to start, like, my overhead is super low. But looking at like running a big truck and insurance, different things, I mean, $2,200 wasn't going to cut it.
Yeah.
And so that's where I knew, like, okay, my goals that I set and what I thought was going to happen, wasn't realistic. Like, let's tone that back a little bit, set some new goals. And so I kind of set new goals of like those 10 customers a day, growing tight routes, and just started working on efficiency. And eventually things started to pick up, referrals. And as the, you know, the service kind of, like word of mouth started picking up and people started understanding the service, we started to grow, and, you know, then it turned into something that ended up being successful for me. But there were days where it was like, I'm cleaning trash cans for $35 and it cost me so much money. Like, how can I do this?
Yeah.
So how'd you come up with your pricing for $35 a trash bin?
Honestly, like, it was just kind of seeing what other people across the country were charging. Mm-hmm. And actually started at $12 a month, what I started at.
Oh, nice.
Like, when I sold my trash bin cleaning company, I was an advocate to others across the country. Like, this is not a, like, necessity service, is a want. Like, you need to charge what you're
premium.
Worth. And so we started the market at $12 a month. We ended at, I think, $29 a month when we sold it. And our quarterly pricing was $19 every three months. And we ended that at $45 every 3 months. And so when I started, had I been on my actual pricing that we ended with, that $2,200 a month probably would have been like $5,000. But yeah, I had no idea how to price
it.
How can I get people just to sign up for it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so. That's the coolest part about your story is, and most entrepreneurs experience this, like, when you start a new business and it's a completely new niche, there's not a path to follow. You know, you had to create your own path. You had to write your own story. And that's what's so interesting about it is to see that you did that and just kept pushing. Because there's people who will start and they'll be like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just going to start something that's already been done. Like, there's a lot of like advertising on social media of like how to do drop shipping, how to do this. And here's a course, how to do it. You didn't have a course. You created the course. And it's cool to see that. It's cool to see where you've gone with it.
Yeah, and awesome. Like, one thing that's I'm super passionate about is like teaching others about like what I've done. And so when we started trash bin cleaning and I started to finally gain some traction, I mean, this industry has gone from when I joined like this Facebook group when I first started, it had like 250 members in it. Mm-hmm. That page today has like 15,000 members and people are starting nationwide. And so for a while, like, I would do weekly Zoom calls with like other trash bin cleaning guys and like teaching them what I'm doing and trying to get them off the ground and try and get them out of that mindset of like, I'm gonna go and buy this truck and be a millionaire tomorrow.
Yeah.
Cause like, I mean, I'll be the first to admit it. Like, I thought, you know, this idea is just gonna blow up. But it really is a long-term business, and being able to teach others and like help them, you know, avoid some of the mistakes that I made up front and help them become successful, and grow their business was super important to me. And so also having that piece of like, that part in the back of my head, like, I want to be able to build something that I can teach others and show them, like, don't give up. Like, you're just a few steps away from hitting something. So that's really what kept me going and just make want to continue day in and day out. And then that's what led to all the other things we've now done.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about how you've been able to scale that business and turn it into this multi-business.
Yeah. So, I get asked the question all the time, like, why did you start with trash bin cleaning and now we're like an asphalt maintenance company? And we do totally different things than where we started. And I look at everything we did, it was kind of like a stepping stone. If I didn't start trash bin cleaning, I never would have had a commercial power washer. Well, then we got into commercial power washing and, you know, landing contracts to go and power wash buildings and hotels and different things with that trash bin cleaning truck. And it's like with that, then led us into our parking lot maintenance, which is where we're currently at right now and kind of our main focus of our business. But everything was just a stepping stone. Like, I had to start somewhere to get into the next service. Mm-hmm. And so take it back to 2020 when I started the trash bin cleaning company. In July, I was approached by someone to buy out their Christmas light business. And at the time, like, my only focus was residential services. Like, I thought I was going to build this company where it was like a one-stop shop for residential services.
Yeah.
So I was approached by him. I didn't have the capital to buy it. He won $100,000. I didn't have the capital to buy that from him. And I was like, well, it'd be great to add to my home service business. And in the winter, I knew that I couldn't go out and wash the trash cans with the freezing temperatures. It's like, I needed another source of income, mainly just to like survive. Like I just needed something else to be able to pay the bills. And so I got creative and I had him work a seller financing deal on this Christmas light business. And when we started hanging Christmas lights in September, I started to realize like, holy cow, this is a whole nother avenue of generating hundreds of thousands of dollars that I never even thought was possible. And so we started our Christmas light business. I acquired his customers, which taught me a lot in like acquiring someone else. I learned
How to integrate and
And it was not like at all what was sold to me or like what I expected. I mean, it was a lot hairier than, you know, you're going to get 150 clients. It's going to be smooth sailing.
They're selling you the top level of it.
When I started getting into it, I mean, I was getting like random contacts, like just shared to me like, oh, this is so-and-so, you know, they get Christmas lights put up. Here's how much they charge, and like random Excel spreadsheets and handwritten notes. And it's like this business that I just got myself into was a mess. But I look back at it now, like had I not gotten into Christmas lights, like that has allowed my business to grow exponentially because of the amount of money we're able to generate in three or four short months hanging Christmas lights. And so I look back at it like, was it worth it? Yes. In the moment, it was not at all what I was expecting. But then where we were able to really blow that up was I already had all these trash bin cleaning clients now. So I started in May, and by the time Christmas light season came around, you know, early fall, September, October timeframe, I started marketing to those same people. The people that are paying for convenience and the trash bin cleaning
also have that money to pay for.
Have the same money to pay for holiday lighting. And if you would have asked me, you know, in 2020, before I started hanging Christmas lights, like how much it would cost, I would have said, oh, probably like $200-$300. It's like a service that's $700, $1,000, $2,000 to get lights put up on your house. And I had no idea. So when I got into it, like I started marketing to all of my trash bin cleaning clients, a pool of, at the time, probably 400 or 500 clients. And I remember sending out a blast text to them, and I walked away from my computer and I came back like an hour later, and I had, I think, like 120 requests for bids for Christmas lights.
Wow.
And so that's where things just started to blow up. We grew our Christmas light business super quick, scaled that. And that's where we generated enough money to then be able to really take our business in 2021 to like the next level and start growing it a lot quicker.
So you started that in 2020, the Christmas lights. So that year with your trash bin cleaning, how much did you guys do total that year?
So total in revenue just from trash bin cleaning was like $35,000.
Wow. Yeah, that's not amazing. But it gave you the clients to be able to do your Christmas lights.
Yes, and then Christmas lights.
So how much was Christmas lights?
I think that year we did like $100,000 in 3 months in Christmas lights.
That's so cool.
And so you see that and you're like, there's so many other things.
There's so much. I mean, money can be made anywhere.
Oh yeah, you can do anything.
Like you can literally do anything and there's always an opportunity. And so now it's like, okay, well, what can we do next year? Like we actually know what we're doing now a little bit with Christmas lights. How can we start to really grow that? And my first thing was I need a bigger clientele base from the trash bin cleaning where I can go and acquire them for pretty cheap. And then I've got this huge database to market to my other services, my higher ticket items. And so that's where we really drove our business was like, let's grow our trash bin cleaning business so we can have the data, have the clients, market to them for the high ticket items, high profit. And that's kind of where we scaled things.
Yeah. I just recently was reading, do you know who Alex Ramosi is? Talks about that. He talked about have your mini offer and then have like your bigger ticket items. And by having that mini offer, that leads you into being able to getting these high ticket sales because you've already built the trust from there. You've already got the clientele and it's an easier transfer just from taking, I mean, in case you took like the, just try to sell the high ticket item to the customer right away. You have the mini offer. That
Yeah, and that's cool with your trash bin cleaning. You had all the clients coming in from that. So at the beginning of 2021, I would assume you guys kept pushing trash bin cleaning, getting all those clients. I'd assume you also had to probably winterize your truck in the winter so you could only start at a certain time.
Yeah, so we started like in March of 2021, kind of took the off season after we were done with Christmas lights, kind of took that off season to like plan and game plan what we were gonna do for 2021. And yeah, so we kind of had our three focuses: grow our trash bin cleaning to increase our clientele, utilize our truck that already has all the equipment to go and do commercial power washing jobs. That's where we started to get into that. And then continue to put gas on the fire for Christmas lights when the time came in the fall. So really just trying to build that game plan for 2021 to be as successful as we could be. And then March came around, we started our trash bin cleaning back up, and you know, slowly started growing that and getting our clients back on schedule and getting more clientele. So yeah, that started again in the spring of 21.
So what resources would you say? I mean, for someone that's trying to grow their business, scale their business, what did you do, or what resources did you access that you felt like really helped you? Is there anything on the top of your head that you can think of?
Honestly, like, I was just diving into content and podcasts and reels and seeing like what other business owners were doing to go and grow their service business, because at the time, like, I didn't really know what worked. Mm-hmm. And so seeing people like getting into the nitty gritty with like Facebook marketing, how to target specific people, audience groups, understanding those things, and learning, because I didn't go to school to learn any of it. So trying to learn myself from other people who've put that knowledge out there, like how to manage your books and your accounting, just finding those little tips and tricks that I could try and implement early on, mm-hmm. was super important for me to tap into. But I mean, it was really just self-taught. And so the resources were just finding other people that had some success and trying to mimic and copy them.
So at the beginning of 2021, when you started, was it just you? I would assume you had some employees, and did you have any partners at the time?
So in 2021, I brought my brother in, Grant. And so he bought in 2021, and he was going to school to be a commercial airline pilot. And actually in 2020, he had done kind of an internship for me. He needed one for one of his marketing or business classes. And so he came to work for me a little bit, and then was like, you know what? Like, I could see myself doing this. But I was like, are you gonna give up like your flight school stuff, the things you've been working on?
Yeah.
And I don't know what the convincing factor was, but he saw something and jumped in. And that was super important for me, because he's super good at like the operational side of things, making equipment run, making sure that things are taken care of as far as like the day-to-day task of getting the job done. Where I feel like my skill set is really in like scaling and growing and systems and the finances, the marketing. He's really good at the operation. So it was a great like combination to bring him in. Let him go and work on the operations while I work on growing the business.
Were you ever scared? I mean, I know a lot of people that are like, I'm not gonna go into business with my own family. Were you ever like, before that, were you like, I'm not gonna do that? Or I mean, what suggestions would you have for other people?
I mean, you definitely have to be cautious. Like, you never want a business relationship to ruin a family relationship. And I've seen that happen, where like money has caused a lot of heartache inside of families. And for Grant and I, like, we've always been pretty close. I remember growing up, like, we shared a room together. We'd always get in trouble together. Sometimes I hated him, you know, and then we're best friends. And then it wasn't really until after I got home from my mission, though, that, like, I really started to appreciate my older siblings as much as I do now. And, you know, when Grant was doing that internship for me, I just saw, like, we worked really well together. He brought a lot of skills that I didn't have. And I felt like I complimented him on the opposite end. And we sat down and we're like, look, let's go and grow something together. But our families are first. That's most important to us. And basically, like, we're both willing to take risks together. And whatever happens, like, if something fails or flops, you know, we're not holding that against each other.
Yeah.
And like, honestly, Grant and I now, from January 2021 until now, like, we don't really fight or disagree or argue. I mean, there's times I've definitely been frustrated with him, but like, we work through things and it's pretty quick, like, get over it and get back to work. And so our relationship's been super good. And people ask us all the time, like, how do you guys work together? You know, does that not cause any issues? But it honestly hasn't. The best business partner I could have. And some swear by not working with family. And I would say definitely, like, be cautious about it.
Yeah.
But not every family partnership has to be bad or sour, tasting in your mouth. So
that's awesome that you guys are doing so well.
So when you guys partnered, the coolest part was that you guys had two separate skills that brought it together. And I think that's the best partnership there is. You know, I've met a lot of people who have partnered because they are their buddies. Like, oh yeah, let's partner, we're buddies, let's go into this 50-50. Most of the time it doesn't work out because they're usually like, well, let's both do marketing, let's do this. Whereas you guys were able to combine skills, which is huge. So for people who don't have a partner right now and they're starting to scale their businesses, would you recommend trying to find a specific partner in your business, or would you just say find another employee? Like, what's the benefit of having a partner?
Yeah, so I mean, I think like not everyone needs a partner. Like, some can go out and do it on their own. I think it depends on your situation. Like, if you're looking at growing and scaling, you know, your business to a certain size, like, I think you need another partner in there that can help you make those decisions. If you're looking to keep something small, that is, can still be very profitable and sustain you and your family and your future investments, like, I think that, you know, you can find great operation managers and general managers and employees to do a lot of those things. But like, I want to build something with Grant, with my brother, that I know, like, when I come to work, I'm supporting my family, but like, it's also supporting his family and vice versa. And we have this dream of like supporting thousands of people inside of our community, whether they work for us, we provide them services. And so like, our idea behind a partnership is we can impact more lives, we can help more people. But for me, like, bringing him on as a partner was a little bit different because like, I know that me working every day, working as hard as I can, is supporting my family and his family, and same for him.
Yeah, it goes vice versa.
And so that was cool for me. Like, he's my brother, we can support each other in this. Where sometimes just bringing in a partner, it's like, at the end of the day, you guys go out to your office and like, you know, you live your own lives. I mean, we hang out with our families and we do things together outside of work. And so to bring him on as a partner was a pretty easy decision, where I think I would be a little more reserved just bringing on any partner. And it also depends on your needs. Like, if you're trying to grow your business right now, do you need money? Do you need skills? Like, is that partner going to bring you value? And what's that value that they're bringing? So don't just jump into a partnership just because it sounds cool. You're going to have now half the workload. Like, that's not always the case. What value are they going to bring in? What are they going to take off your plate? Or what are they going to bring to the business you've already started?
Yeah.
You started those businesses, you got into Christmas lights, you started doing snow removal. What like got you into snow removal? And then money-wise, how did you guys end up doing in like 2021, 2022, and so on?
Yeah, so really it was just like, we needed something to be able to keep our guys employed.
Yeah.
After Christmas lights were done. Like, we have that awkward month of December, we're not hanging lights, but we're also not ready to take them down yet, obviously. So needed to find something to fill the gaps. We started doing snow removal, just one truck and a couple properties. It was actually a decent winter, made some good money, and we were kind of hesitant to get into it. Like, it's kind of expensive to get in, and we had a good opportunity to get in, and so we did. Generated some good revenue, which then again propelled us into, you know, growing again the next year, having some capital to be able to buy some more equipment. And that's always been my biggest thing, is like, when we started paying cash for everything, because obviously I couldn't go and get loans or credit for equipment. And so getting like that snow money allowed us to go and buy another power washing trailer, another truck to pull something. And so it was really a great opportunity to make some more money. But looking from like 2020, I think we did about $130,000 with the Christmas lights and the trash bin cleaning. Going to 2021, we're like around the $350,000 mark. And then that propels into 2022, which I think is the first year that we hit $1 million.
Oh, wow.
So it went from like 300 to a million.
Congrats.
Tripled.
That's awesome.
Tripled. That's magnificent.
Yeah, so it was just
good job.
Like, taking those steps one at a time, and building that infrastructure with that equipment and those employees, now that we're able to retain and keep them, so then we could start the spring off, you know, with a good start with employees that have already been around doing things, which then just allowed us to hit the ground running from the beginning. And now, like, looking at where we are currently, we've now sold the trash bin cleaning company, we sold that last May,
okay.
So almost a year ago. And not at all because it like was a business that was failing or, you know, wasn't profitable. It was just a great opportunity to get some more capital, to buy some more equipment and kind of like segue our business from the residential side to kind of that commercial aspect where we started getting into, you know, bigger ticket items, longer kind of project-based work instead of like a one time you show up $35 for a trash bin cleaning. You know, now we're doing bigger contracts, bigger projects where we're there for, you know, multiple days or weeks at a time. So definitely harder to sell those bigger contracts, but when you get them, right, I mean, you've got so much more opportunity and potential to grow. Like even with one trash bin cleaning truck, your profits are great, but it takes a while to grow it.
Mm-hmm.
When we got into our commercial stuff, we still are able to maintain great profits, but now be able to generate so much more revenue, which allows us to grow and really start to work on my vision, which is to grow a business that, you know, not only sustains my family, work on it with Grant sustaining his family, but also building something that like my employees and my team members, like they can also be successful, like financially successful.
Yeah.
And so doing that, like I knew I needed to grow something big, like think outside the box and grow something that was going to be able to generate, you know, the amount of money needed for my employees as well to be successful and get them to buy in to something like this, a long-term, this isn't just a job, like this is a career for you, build a culture where a career can be had. And so just knowing like I needed to be generating more revenue, increase my profits to give more opportunities. And I look at it like I would love to have, you know, 50 team members. Like I come in every day and I know that what we've built like supports 50 families around here, and not just like pays, you know, their monthly bills, but like supports them, like gives them the freedom that, you know, I want them to be able to have. So like, that's honestly a big goal for me. And I just knew like I needed to take things to the next step and to the next level to be able to get there. And so that's kind of where we've transitioned into the commercial services. We still have our residential division and our commercial division. And they work hand in hand oftentimes, but, you know, taking to the next step, buying more equipment, getting into bigger services has really allowed us to grow and begin the scaling process of where we want to get to.
Do you think you'll ever get rid of the residential side?
I think we'll keep the high ticket items.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think like there's good money in there. I really love the residential like side of things, that customer service. I feel like that's something I've really mastered over the last couple of years is like growing a residential service company. Still working on the commercial side of things. I think we've done a good job at it, but still working on things there. But I think we'll keep that residential side for a while still. It's a good change of pace. And we can kind of split the divisions and split them. So we have our commercial division and our residential division, but be able to cross share equipment and different things. And so right now our plan is still to keep them, but definitely just the things that are the higher ticket.
Okay. So I would kind of want to switch paces really quick. I know we didn't plan for this, but I want to talk about, because I think this is really, I think our audience would really love to hear this, about how your wife Ashley supported you and all these big dreams and these big goals that you had. What were some of the things that, you know, she did to support you and how that helped you in your dream and your goals?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I couldn't have done anything obviously without that support, without my wife. When we started dating, it was right when we started getting into the Christmas lights, and like that was way more than I ever should have, you know, taken on. And that was like literally we started dating like a week before we started Christmas lights. And so I was kind of like gone. I mean, we dated, our dating was her coming to Nampa every night to help me either get jobs ready, get things sorted out. She would help me just with so many different little things in the business. And she saw like how much hard work it was gonna take and how much time and effort was gonna go into it. But she always supported me and knew like that there was a bigger picture here.
Yeah.
And so just being by my side and understanding and supportive of like what our dreams are and understanding that, you know, it's not gonna be the normal 9-to-5. But with that, like that first Christmas light season, I mean, worked all day, every day. I mean, wouldn't go to bed till 2 or 3 in the morning, get back up early in the morning to go get started at it. Like that sacrifice there has now allowed us to be able to, you know, take days off, go on, you know, vacations or different things and spend time with our family, which is truly what we want, to be able to build financial freedom and build a life where we're not clocking in for 40 hours a week, we're building something. And so having her just understand that and be on my side and be on my team and has been honestly the best thing. Like I couldn't have done it without that, without her just being supportive. And it's hard to find like exactly things that she's done right now, like on the top of my head, but I can just think of like random times. Hey, can you go do this for me? Can you get this? Can you? And she's just always willing
to do that,
drop
for you.
Whatever she needs to go and help me, because it helps us be successful.
Yeah. Well, I'm super happy for you guys. I mean, Benjamin knew Ashley in high school and so did I, and just to see her with you guys in this, like what you said, this community that you're creating and your guys' goals and your dreams coming true with this whole production, it's really awesome. And it's cool to come from a really small town. Like I think she grew up in Parma, right? And so did Ben. She grew up in Parma, and then see, you know, you guys actually a small town kind of person and just growing something like this. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool. And you have 2 little ones, huh?
Yep. Yeah. So I've got a 5-year-old daughter. She's my stepdaughter. And then I've got a little boy. He just turned 2. I wouldn't have it any other way. It's great.
That's really cool. So Sailor and I have talked about this, how when we create our business, you know, we want to create a business where we can bring our kids in, you know, and they're involved. I have the feeling that I can teach my kids better than any human being on this planet. That's like how
that's
I feel.
Your opinion.
Other than my wife, right? That's how I feel. And so I'm like, I don't want to send my kids off to a school or even like a private school or even a homeschool to some other teacher, because I feel like I could teach them the lessons that they need to learn. And that's why when we create our business, we want to try to do exactly what you're doing, which is building a great culture where I can raise my kids up in it, where they can see it. You know, they show up and they can watch the lady answering phones. They can watch the guys out in the shop working. They can watch me on the computer making calls, you know, stuff like that. Is, I think right now in the world, those are like the number one skills to learn, is how to manage stress, how to take on big loads and big numbers and just keep performing and keep getting it done. And I really like what you've done and how you choose to involve your family. It's awesome, man. It's really cool. There's a lot of entrepreneurs out there who don't do that. And I don't know, do you know who Ryan Pineda is?
Mm-hmm.
So he's under he only works 8 to 5 Monday through Thursday. And then he goes golfing on Fridays is what he does. And so I feel the exact same way as that. You know, when I come home from work 5 o'clock, I want to be with my family, but I want all my employees to be able to do the same thing. And it's not that I want them to work a 9 to 5. It's that I want them to be able to show up to work, be super productive, put in their time, make good money, and then come home and love what they do. And it seems like that's something that you're putting on as well, which is really cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just think taking care of your family, taking care of your employees, like you take care of them, they take care of you. Right? Same thing, you take care of your family long term, like your relationships are gonna be strong, that you're gonna be taken care of. And just finding that balance, you know, and being an entrepreneur, like, yes, we all want this, you know, 20-hour work week or to be able to punch out. And it's like, I don't think that's realistic. Like, I don't think that that's, you know, that's never gonna happen, but you shouldn't be buying yourself a job. Like, if you're just gonna go and work 80 hours a week to make the same that you could at a 9 to 5. Like, I think that you're, you know, maybe wasting your time or there's something better you could be doing. But on the same side, like, you have to understand that that's what it's going to take to start. Like, you're going to have to grind. You're going to have to hustle. There's going to be a lot of sacrifices you make, but showing up every day, like you were talking about that earlier, Benj, like showing up every single day, it's hard, but it's the most important thing. And doing it every day and just being consistent is where you'll start to see that growth. And then you'll start to see that freedom. You'll get your time back. You'll start to have the financial freedom that you're striving for. And the biggest thing, just having your time back to be with your family and grow those relationships, which are the most important ones, I think. But it takes a lot of hard work and determination starting out. So you can build those systems, build that stuff to get your time back, to buy that back. I think that's really important.
Yeah, consistency wins. That's the winning trait right there, is just being willing to be consistent. And it's really cool too with your trash bin cleaning business too, because that's all it was consistency. Your first year you guys did 35,000. That's rough to then, you know, keep doing it. It's hard to be like, I just spent what was like probably 8-9 months of this for $35,000. That's hard to swallow to then get up the next morning and do it again. And that's the difference between successful entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs who own a job, is they'll be like, oh, you know, I don't feel like it today. You know, I'm just going to sleep in. I don't have any jobs. It's not going to cost me anything. Versus you have the really successful Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos. They showed up every single day for decades. And that's all they did, just show up and just get it done. And I'm sure they had days where they weren't super productive. There's no way you can go a million miles an hour all the time. You will burn out at least for one day. You're not even Elon Musk can do that, right? But that's what it takes. Consistency is the winning attribute to any business, and just showing up. And we can see that here. You know, I remember seeing your Facebook posts in the beginning of 2020, advertising, you know, Rocky Mountain Exterior Solutions. I remember seeing that and I was like, oh, this is really cool. And you're still going, and you're gonna keep going. And that's all it takes. Obviously, you gotta be willing to take risks. You gotta have a vision. You gotta be willing to work hard, but just keep showing up. And you've already done 80% of the work.
Yeah, I think, I mean, one thing if I could share just like to anyone, you have to be willing to take a risk, bet on yourself. Like, you're gonna be able to create a better opportunity than anyone else can for yourself. So go and take that risk, spend that dollar to market, spend that dollar to buy that piece of equipment. You know, take the risk on yourself, because, you know, it'll come around 10x. And I feel like when you take a risk and you put a little bit of skin in the game, like you're motivated, you're hungry to go and, you know, grow that, like you have to.
Yeah, there's no other choice.
There's no other choice. And so take that risk, you know, take that step forward and starting something and going to achieve something for yourself, and then build that culture, build that team, build that community. It's not all going to come at once, but it comes, you know, with consistency and just showing up. Looking back at 2020, like $130,000 a year, and now being able to do, you know, that in a month or less. And it's like, that didn't come overnight. That came from every single day,
years,
consistency,
years.
Showing up and building something and taking risks and being willing to bet on myself and adapt. Like, I've seen what business models have worked for me, what we've struggled with, what's been challenging, and it's okay to change. And I've gotten people that have looked at me kind of weird, like, you were washing trash cans and now you're you know, working on parking lots. Like, why have you changed so much? Well, I've had to evolve, and I look at it like I'm 25 years old almost. I still have my entire life ahead of me. So if I fail right now, I'll get back up and I'll do something again. So don't be afraid to take that risk, especially for young entrepreneurs. Like, go and get after it, take a risk. And, you know, it's okay to fail. Like, I've failed at different things, and that's something you have to be willing to recognize and admit. Like, not everything's going to be perfect. Not every business plan I've had has gone well. But being consistent, eventually you'll get over it. You'll be able to get to a successful point. But it's just consistency. Keep going every day.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, thank you so much, McKay, for taking the time out of your day to be on this podcast with us.
And sharing your right insights. I'm excited for a lot of people to hear this. I think a lot of people that are as young as you are and that have so many different business ideas and have so many different options, I think they're really going to be really excited to listen to this and to hear your story and hear how you don't have to stick with one thing, right? If this worked for this opportunity, and then I moved on. You don't have to be a electrician for your entire life. You don't have to do this for your entire life, but have your opportunity and use it for what you need to, but then also be ready to let go when you need to, when it needs to let go.
Yeah, knowing growth is needed versus what's holding you back. And I think it's cool too, because we're all the same age. I mean, what, 23, 24? And for you to be doing $1-3 million a year at that age, it's incredible, man. It's really cool. And I hope there's a lot of people our age who listen to this to know that anyone can do anything. You know, you can achieve anything. But I think one of the number one thing that entrepreneurs don't really think about is what you were talking about, is for me personally, like when I first got into, you know, business, I didn't know a lot about the little things that to me seem like it's like kindergarten knowledge of a business, which is like just being consistent. You know, you get on social media and you see these people, you see the Grant Cardones and you see the Alex Hormozis, and you're just like, the first time you see them, they're already, you know, worth hundreds of millions. And you're just like, man, that was fast.
Yeah.
When you didn't see their story, you didn't hear about it. You have no idea. You go back and you start looking on, you go, okay. And all of them saying, you just have to be consistent. You just have to. And so for all you entrepreneurs out there, if today is a hard day, wake up and do it again tomorrow. And I hope it's harder for you, because that's when you're going to grow. That's when you're going to become the strongest person and able to overcome the most stress. So thanks for giving us examples of just being consistent, because that's the key. That is the goal. So thank you.
Yeah, and tune in next time on the Vengeance Sailor Show.
Yeah.